Rick Emerson, he's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Upgrade. All right, then. Yeah, this is
Blasting the Infiniti G35 in 2003.
You know, you can't be inoculated for smallpox if you've got eczema. What the hell is that all about?
I don't know.
Isn't eczema just dandruff? I got that. Maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Got that cough, though. It's good to see that's still here. Good to see the cough is still lingering on.
Ever since the contrails.
All right. Thanks, Clyde. You know, the worst thing about the war on terror is that it makes it... It's no longer possible just to dismiss all of Clyde's insanity out of hand. It's just so much the ravings of a paranoid, delusional town crier. And now you just have to... Because about one out of every four things he's right on. That's the thing about Clyde is he's never just wrong across the board, because that'd make it easy to go, you nutcase. About 25% of the time, he's just dead freaking on. Man, we're living in the end times. It's like my mom. My mom's less religious than she used to be. My mom used to be this just horrific religious zealot. And my mom was one of those Catholics who was always convinced that we were living in the end days. And it's like you'd go home and she'd be watching the... I swear to God she used to do this. You go home, my mom would be watching the 6 o'clock news, remote control in one hand, Bible in the other, looking through the book of Revelations as Dan Rather talked. Just like it. Then they formed a world bank. That's one of the seven seals. Anyway. What are you doing here? It's 3 minutes, 54 seconds after the hour 12, and this the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2002. Thank you for coming along. We appreciate it. Welcome to Day 12. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk at Eddie Cave, Duquesne, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Along with incoming producers Sarah Dillon, Matthew Peterson, Tim Riley in the Cave to K newsroom. Christina Carlson, who was here a minute ago, but she just left early. She's gone. All right, anyway, so we got that. Coming up today is what you've all been waiting for. This is what's gotten you into the tent. This is the Sledge-O-Matic that's brought you here. Coming up later on, Tim Riley's top five musical artists of all time. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be the best thing you've ever heard. Richard Nunn from the WBA, maybe or maybe not, who knows. CNN Radio's John Bisney. We're going to play Name That Tune later on today as well. You want to be listening for that. And something else, but I forget what. I had something important to say, but now it's just gone away. Floated away like so much flatulence in a car. With a window open. Going about 45 down the interstate. That's exactly how that goes away. Hey, you know they're selling a line of toys based on Run DMC now? Guy sent me the link last night. You can buy them online. Like little itty-bitty plastic figures of Jam Master Jay et al. It's good stuff.
Sound like at McDonald's?
God, I'm old. What? No, it's like at a place. It's an online. It's like a, you know, toyzone.com. Or don't go to that. It's probably porn. But, you know, some website. Well, all right, then. Here's Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Somebody get the nail. Someone else get the hammer. It's time to crucify Trent Lott. He tells Larry King he's no cross burner.
The record of things that I have been supportive, the programs I've supported, I indicate that I'm not insensitive to the need for fair elections and community renewal.
You have no idea how much Trent Lott likes black people.
I do have a long record of trying to involve African Americans and supporting our historical black colleges and universities, Jackson State University, Alcorn
Bob
University.
Bob Jones University?
Absolutely.
Sure
that, we
have, tax breaks. Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Into the state.
Okay, first of all, here's the thing. Anytime some politician or reporter starts tripping over themselves to use the phrase African Americans, you know that they're covering up the fact that they're secretly bigots. You know why? Because it's a dumb phrase that no one really uses. It's true. No one uses that colloquially in conversation. It's a phrase that is used. The sole purpose of the phrase, and I don't mean to disrespect anybody, but the sole purpose of the phrase is to demonstrate your open-mindedness and tolerance, which is something that you shouldn't... You know, it's like if you have to use lingo that demonstrates that that you don't have anything against black folks, then you have something against black folks. If you have to alter the way you talk so as to make it really clear, so you're skywriting for everybody that you are not a bigot, then you're probably a bigot. And, you know, just cop to it, man. You know what I'm saying? It just bugs me. It's also linguistically inaccurate. That's the other term. That's the other reason that the term bothers me. Because really, like... Scientifically speaking, really clinically talking, if you want to get down to it, You know, like, we're all African Americans. Really, if you really want to push that to shove, we're all African Americans.
How do you think that would work on, like, college application or something?
Oh, man, I got a friend, my friend Kylie, born in Africa, blonde hair, blue eyes, white as freaking snow, born, raised in Africa, moved here, she was like 16, 17, on her college application, African American. That went over well. It doesn't make any sense. It's just scientifically inaccurate, which is why it annoys me. It's right up there with Native American. You know, it just annoys me. Native American's worse, though. Let me just talk to you about the term Native American for a second. Here's why you should never use the term Native American. Not only is it inaccurate, seeing as how anybody who was born here is a Native American. The people who were here when we came over and started spreading smallpox and liquor, they weren't Native Americans either, because, of course, they came across the Bering Land Bridge from Asia. Also, and most important, oh, never mind. Whatever happened to this barren land?
Never mind.
Just don't burn any crosses and don't be a dick. You know what I mean? That's what it can come down to. This is, you know what tolerance is? Don't be an a-hole. Don't go joining the Klan and shooting people. Just chill out, man. Jesus.
Well, Kitlott does have one supporter in the world. His name is Jesse Helms.
Great. Well, and that's the good news, bad news. And Trent, the good news is somebody's come out in your defense. The bad news is it's David Duke. That's, I mean, what kind of...
What's funnier is that Strom Thurmond isn't supporting what he said.
Right, well, that's... Well, Strom Thurmond and the Pope are sitting somewhere together playing canasta. What kind of news, like, would you even want... Wouldn't you just send a preemptive postcard to Jesse Helms? Go, Jesse, please, just don't try to help... Don't try to come out of my defense. Don't, because that's, you know, Jesse Helms drowning here. Here's an anchor. Ugh! You know, just takes him right down to the bottom.
But anyway, Helms says, lots of critics leapt on the comments like a puppy dog on a dog biscuit.
He didn't really say that.
Yes, he did.
Really?
Here it is.
Well, all right. Isn't it funny how a week ago Trent Lott was the heir apparent, and this week, man, that guy couldn't, he's not going to get elected to anything ever. It's weird the way politics work, man. That guy was, he's toast within the last 48 hours.
He's the new Newt Gingrich, really.
Just sad. Oh, it should be noted, by the way, for people who think we're being too hard on Trent Lott, we are not.
Yeah.
For people who think that we're being unfair or we're going after Trent Lott disproportionate to what he said or did supporting Strom Thurmond. And here's, can I just also make a little note here? And who else was saying this the other day? Henry was saying this the other day, and it's dead on, man. You know, have you noticed that this new speak, this Orwellian lexicon that the media is using so as not to offend the Republican Party, when they talk about Thurmond, even Maxine Waters is doing this. She was calling him a segregationist or whatever, some extra syllable word. But they were, you know, they called Strom Thurmond a segregationist. Whatever happened just calling him a racist, which is clearly what that is. You know, you're not a segregationist, you're a bigot. You know, segregationalism is part of bigotry, but calling Strom Thurmond a segregationist, it's completely misleading. He's not a segregationist, or wasn't at least a segregationist. He's a racist. It is put a fine point on it. That's what that is. If you are a segregationist, you are a racist. And coming up with some new name for it to try to fool your dumb white constituency in the South doesn't change about it. You're just a bigot. So nothing fancy about it. You're just a racist. But anyway, lest anybody think we're being too hard on Trent Lott about this, it was then revealed. Do we have a sound on the Bob Jones thing by any chance?
Don't. We do not.
Okay, but it was revealed yesterday, the Bob Jones University, which came under fire a couple years ago because they don't allow or didn't allow at the time interracial dating. And this is literally up until like a year and a half ago.
Right.
Bob Jones University, which I believe is in South Carolina, but I'm not going to swear to it.
South Carolina, yeah.
When I was in high school, I had a hat from Bob Jones University that just said BJU.
Excellent. I see, I'd wear that. Bob Jones University, which came under fire about 18 months ago because they wouldn't allow interracial dating. Well, the federal government tried to, you know, beat them about their head and shoulders for that a while back, trying to take away their tax-exempt status, which they eventually did, by the way. The court said you can't, on the one hand, forbid interracial dating and, on the other hand, want tax-exempt status for being religious. And guess who came out swinging in their racist defense?
Trent Lott.
Trent Lott came out in their defense, defending... their right to remain tax-exempt while being overtly, not even subtly, being overtly racist. So, screw that guy.
Yeah.
Time for the Bushwatch.
Here's your Bushwatch.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's your moon. That's my Bush.
Okay, so now Debbie weighs in this trip lot situation.
Any suggestion that the segregated past was acceptable or positive is offensive, and it is wrong.
That's the sound of Trent Lott's rope being cut off and him plummeting down the side.
So that's a little 10-second soundbite. He gets better in this 12-second soundbite.
Recent comments by Senator Lott do not reflect the spirit of our country.
No.
He has apologized.
Give me some bricks to hold on.
Rightly so.
Oh,
and one more.
Every day our nation was segregated was a day that America was unfaithful to our founding ideals. The equal dignity and equal rights of every American.
So you get sent to the same room with Bette Robertson now?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can just... That's the sound of Trent Lott's air hose being disconnected and taken away from him. Bye, Trent. I mean, seriously, It's just a reality. He's hosed. You just can't, you know, you just can't go around wearing a hood everywhere. That just, people don't cotton to that these days.
Yep. Yes, it is Bushwatch.
Here's your Bushwatch for Thursday.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
It should be noted, apparently those Run DMC dolls are at Spencer's Gifts, which is kind of good. I try never, ever to go into Spencer's Gifts, because it's like, you know what Spencer's Gifts is? It's like this nexus for tacky. It's like all the tacky energy in the universe emanates from that place. It's some sort of weird crossroads of all things gaudy and unappealing.
Teeny bopper stuff.
Now, it's not even that it's teeny bopper. It's like, it's stuff for like teeny boppers who live in wood-paneled trailers. It's just, you know, it's just awful. Any place where they're selling, like, ceramic busts of Gene Simmons, you know, that's a place you just don't want to go in. You just want to stay away from there. Hey, what's this? Lots of bad, tacky silver jewelry of, like, pot leaves. You know, just stay away.
Well, a British vicar reduced young children to tears and stunned their parents when he said Santa Claus and his reindeer would burn to a crisp while delivering presents at supersonic speed. The stand-in vicar, Ray Rayfield, shattered the illusions of dozens of kids when he joked in his carol service sermon that Santa and his reindeer would burn up doing 3,000 times the speed of sound as they delivered gifts to 91.8 million homes.
Well, it is kind of a workload when you think about it.
It is. Newspaper said many children at the school service at St. Mary's Church, west of London, were distraught when Rayfield pointed out that it was logistically impossible for one man and one sleigh to deliver 378 million presents in just 21 hours.
Now you'd be turned to gelatinous mush.
Of course, we don't want to say that Santa isn't real because we know that that isn't true.
Well, he is real. It's just that he burns to death horribly.
Right. Every year.
We have children that listen to this show.
Oh, please, we do not.
We do.
They've
called in and said F Matt before.
Well, that's true, but they're in school right now, unless they're cutting class. Which they probably are.
Sorry
about that, kid. Yeah, they're cutting class. They're old enough to know, you know. Old enough to cut class, old enough to know about Santa burning alive.
They were
kind
of
Spencer's Gifts.
It's scary to me that Matt is now going to be your, like, moral meter or whatever. That Matt's calling you on making fun of the you know, horrifying the children.
That Matt's the compass of righteousness on this show now.
Yeah, I'm now the moral barometer.
You know, the moral Magellan for the Rick Emerson show. That's a comforting thought.
Well, Ray Liotta plays angry undercover Lieutenant Henry Oak, who embarks on an investigation of a murdered cop who was his partner in NARC. Jason Patrick stars as his new partner who helps him with the case. Ray, tell us why he didn't ride along with the cops for
this
research.
One. I didn't. It was just so much more emotional. This was more about the guilt and the love that he had for this little girl, for his wife, for the guy.
I just can't hear this guy's voice without thinking of Henry Hill.
So it was much more of an emotional kind of homework that I had to do as opposed to, you know, because once you learn how to carry a gun and hold the gun, you know, you get it.
You know, the sad thing about that guy is, and I know that Ray Liotta did stuff before Goodfellas, but that's the first time he entered the public consciousness was when he did that movie. And it's like, You know, it's like when a band comes out with some debut album that's just like the greatest thing ever, and it's just impossible to top. And that's the damnable misery for it for Ray Liotta, is that there's just no way he can top his debut appearance on the American cultural landscape. There's no way. How can he top Goodfellas? There's no way.
He obviously didn't top it, but he was really good in the HBO movie The Rat Pack.
Also, he was, as Frank, really good. Also, yeah. a much underrated movie with Kurt Russell and, Mary Mastry Antonio or whatever the hell her name is, Unlawful Entry, which is a great movie, a very tension-filled, suspenseful movie.
Ray, tell us about the financial troubles and how it helped you with your role.
Not so much it makes you a better actor, but some days when you're not in the mood at 7 o'clock in the morning to, you know, be beating somebody up or yelling, you just remember how you were chasing down the money and you were being lied to. You get angry again.
Okay. Ray Liotta, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for stopping by. A Guns N' Roses tour has been canceled. The first U.S. tour in 9 years by hell-raising rock band Guns N' Roses officially fell apart yesterday as its promoter tersely announced the cancellation of the remaining shows for the ill-star jaunt. Clear Channel Entertainment released a two-paragraph statement because they're not allowed to use any more paper than that. It gave no reason for pulling the plug. It has followed days of speculation about the status of the group, whose only other original member is volatile vocalist Axl Rose.
Well, there's been like three. God, it's just that guy. What is his deal? He carries some temporal distortion field around him, I think, because he's been out of the public eye for like 11 years, and they've only made three concert appearances in the last month, and there's been riots at all three of them. Every single concert appearance they've done in the last month, all three of them, three concerts, three riots. I don't know what is it with that guy?
Clear Channel's press release says Chinese democracy fails.
Yeah, well, which is funny. Which is, never mind. I'm not even gonna make the obvious Clear Channel Chinese democracy joke, because it's just too easy for me. But here's the funny thing about that story. Well, I mean, there's several funny things about it, but Axl Rose, and those of you listening to the show, you know, you hear me drone on and on about Axl Rose, because I got this, I'm not even ashamed of it, I've got this weird fascination with Axl Rose. I officially think an Axl Rose fetish of some kind, because he's endlessly interesting to me. But all the other guys in the band, all the other original members of Guns N' Roses, Izzy Stradlin, Duff McKagan, and Slash, and Matt Sorum, who took over for Steven Adler, they've all formed a new band now. That's the funny part. Is on the one hand, there's like Axl and the Session guys, and on the other, there's all the other members of Guns N' Roses for the bulk of their time without a vocalist, and they're looking for somebody new. So we can all see the writing on the wall here. That it's just a matter of time. I'm saying 3 years at the outside.
I don't know if it's kind of BS or whatnot, but there was some talk that that Tommy Lee was actually going to be lead vocalist in that band.
Oh, see, I listened to that. So, but I mean, we all see the reunion coming, and I'm saying 2 to 3 years. There's going to be the full on Guns N' Roses reunion coming. You're going to see it happening. It's inevitable, because think of the amount of money that's at stake there. Think of the money that could be offered to them, you know, for a reunion tour. It's just an unbelievable amount. So, anyway.
They don't even have to put a new album. Just get together and play all the old stuff.
Well, it's like Pink Floyd. You know, if the guys in Pink Floyd could just patch it up and pull it together long enough to do a tour, I mean, they'd make $50 billion.
Didn't they do a tour a couple years ago, like with ridiculous charges for their tickets?
Well, yeah, but that wasn't Pink Floyd. I mean, that was like sort of Pink Floyd Incorporated. I mean, it's just David Gilmour and... Pink Floyd now is sort of like if Paul and Ringo had gotten two other guys and toured as the Beatles. That's kind of Pink Floyd at this juncture. So, all right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-TODAY. More on the way, including CNN Radio's John Bisney, Top 5 and How Chicks Think and all that. They'll go anywhere. Here's Weezer. It's the Rick Emerson Show on KOTK.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Here is Sarah Dillon with that there traffic.
Got an opinion?
Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
What the hell is that about? He moves to Bend to take a job there. He's back. I know he was back last week. I know he was back on Monday. He's back today.
Well, he was back. He had a meeting. He was gone all last week. But we had, he had to come back over here because we had to move this weekend. So he just had to pick
me
up.
He's back in town for a meeting, and then he's back today.
He was back in town for a meeting, and then he just stayed for a day, and now he's leaving again.
It seems to me like you could have just stayed here and commuted to Bend, which
see,
I think is what Matt and I suggested. You
But
heartbeat.
See, this is an unusual month because it's December, so he has all these odd meetings that are not normal.
So you'd have me believe. All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. What's up with you, John?
Hey, how are you doing, Rick?
Well, I'm doing a lot better than our friend from Mississippi today. That's kind of how I'm doing. I'm doing a lot better than Trent Lott is doing.
Well, he seems to be in some political hot water, and of course the question now is, can he climb out successfully?
Well, the thing about Trent Lott is, and maybe I'm incorrect about this, but it seems like there has been, like we've achieved what scientists call a critical mass, which is where the story and the scandal are increasing exponentially, as evidenced by the fact that now W has come out to condemn the statements and distance himself from Trent Lott, which can't bode well for anything in Trent Lott's future.
Right, although I will say that the White House is still maintaining that the president is not asking Senator Lott to step down as majority leader. The president just condemning his remarks. And the White House opinion is that it's really up to, as obviously it is, up to Senate Republicans to decide whether they want to have Mr. Lott as their leader or not in the coming Congress.
Is this the sort of thing that just torpedoes your presidential aspirations in the future?
I don't think it would be a good thing to have in your background, but I don't know that Senator Lott really has ever expressed much ambition to be president.
Oh, please. We all know that everyone who works there, we all know everybody in that square 200 yards, I think everybody there considers themselves a presidential candidate. I don't know. Maybe it'll hurt him in the future. Maybe it won't. Maybe people have a shorter memory than we think. And then the San Francisco Chronicle, I believe it was reporting yesterday now that it's come out that he was came out in support of continued tax-exempt status for Bob Jones University some time ago, even though they had policies that were overtly racist, including a ban on interracial dating. And it just seems like it's gathering so much speed at this point. What is the lifespan for this story? Are we still going to be talking about this next week?
I would doubt that. Again, it seems to me that it's an interesting situation because there is no mechanism now for deposing Mr. Lott other than a vote of his fellow Republican senators. It's not as though he can be impeached or recalled or indicted or an investigation cranked up against him. So it's going to be his fate, I think, will be up to his party caucus. And so far, every Republican in the caucus has either remained rather silent about it. Now, with the exception of John McCain, is he part of the caucus? You've got to answer that question. He's a Republican. But other than that, you know, the Republicans have been fairly supportive of him.
Especially Jesse Helms, which is, as we were saying earlier, it's got to be kind of the good news, bad news when you get really vocal support, but it comes from Jesse Helms, who is not considered to be a very tolerant person in most quarters.
Of course, he's retiring, as is Strom Thurmond, and if Strom were not retiring now, you wonder if we'd be in this situation to begin with.
Absolutely. CNN radio correspondent John Bisney, thank you. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Imagine getting paid to go to school. Troubled students at a charter school in St. Louis's inner city get $50 every 2 weeks to keep their butts in their seats.
If they weren't offering to pay us anything, I'll still be here.
Because half of these kids probably about going here just for the money anyway.
The money part, they don't matter.
See? But some people feel this sends the wrong message to these youngsters.
Prostitution. You know, in essence, you know, say, well, I'm just going to skip all the formalities and just pay you. Let's get this done. Well, what kind of results do you have? You don't have compassion. You don't have love. You don't have commitment.
$50 a week for good attendance is a reward. And it's $50 that our kids aren't having to pick up somewhere else.
like drugs.
Yeah, and other things, and cockfighting and so forth. I don't have any problem with that. I mean, no. What are you going to do? Whatever it takes. It's not like our current educational system's really knocking them dead. It's not like the system we've got in place now is really scoring high on the charts. Whenever there's this debate about how much we should pay teachers, and people say, well, I don't want to pay teachers a whole lot because I don't want somebody there just for the money. I don't care what they're there for. Man, as long as they can do it, the hell does your ass care if they're there for the money or not? As long as the kids are coming out being able to add two and two together. Jesus.
Time for the clergy watch.
All right, here's the clergy watch for Thursday.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Cause I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith.
City comes word that Colonel Bernard Law has offered to resign. The Boston Archbishop has been meeting with church officials in the Vatican since Sunday and will formally submit his resignation to Pope John Paul tomorrow. The Pope must accept his resignation in order for it to take effect. Law has been widely criticized for several months for his role in the sex abuse scandal playing the Catholic Church, especially in New England.
And Cardinal Law and Trent Lott in 1 week.
Imagine that. Victoria Johnson is in Rome and she says Law is definitely finished.
Well, the take I'm getting is that if he's not done tomorrow, it's going to be soon, because people here, his support has been softening dramatically, and every time he comes here to Rome, he has another crisis on his hands, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And the fact, and everybody's taking notice of the priests in Boston who have put a letter out demanding that he resign.
Well, has to demand except for Jesse Helms.
This is the thing as Trent Lott, though, that they thought that it would go away. I think Law thought that it would just people would forget about it. But child buggering is just one of those things that people tend to they just tend to hold grudges about it. That tends to stick in folks' brains. And he just thought that it was going to be something that got glossed over, but not so. I mean, it's been glossed over for 20 years, and once that's out of the bottle, man, you just can't put that stuff back in. So if he's not hosed this week, it's going to be within 6 months. And if the Pope doesn't fire his ass or accept his resignation tomorrow, it's going to be because of health reasons, or he
wants to spend more time with his family.
He wants to spend more time with his cats
with
or
his
something.
Kids. Oh, can't do that anymore.
Yeah. No, I think he's spent a little too much time with his children already.
That's today's clergy watch.
Because I got to have faith.
Well, J-Lo is clamping down on fiancé Ben Affleck's legendary tipping habits during their Thanksgiving holiday visit. Hollywood's hottest couple was at a table at Mirage, and spies say Affleck was on a roll when he tossed a $5,000 white chip to the dealers. J-Lo told him no, retrieving the chip and put it in her pocketbook.
Oh, like we needed more reasons to hate her ass. Yeah. That's reason 838.
Then she reached over and took three of Affleck's $100 black chips and pushed them across the table. Affleck took J-Lo's family members in a shopping frenzy November 28th and 29th, buying clothes at the Forum Shops at Caesars and two Mercedes-Benz automobiles at Fletcher Jones Imports. She didn't push those Mercedes aside.
Jesus.
Well, of course not. Those were for her and her mother or something like that.
Completely. Why did you just sign over your... That, you know what that is, too? That's when you start giving her, like, just a blank checkbook to carry around. You ever reach that point in the relationship? I'm just going to have one of your checkbooks with me all the time. You start seeing a lot of withdrawals from the account. You're like, what are we... Oh, that was some stuff I had to buy. As soon as you get that... They're not even married yet. She's already taken financial control. Penis in a
change
in a
purse. That chip by $4,700.
Jesus God!
Oh,
the hell is that about? And plus, I read this. I told you I read this. The Playboy interview with Ben Affleck. I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago or something. And he seems like the coolest guy. And that was one of the things they always pointed to, was marking him as one of those guys who remembered where he came from, remembered his route. That he's known to be an extravagant tipper, especially when he's spending a lot of money in Vegas, which is the way it ought to be. And you all know me when it comes to the tip, and I'm not a. You all know that I don't generally tip a whole lot, and sometimes I don't tip at all, and we've been down that road, and I don't need to rehash that whole thing here, but, you know, I always tip in Vegas, because in Vegas, if you're making money, because that's the thing, it's, the reason I don't always feel obligated to tip in a restaurant or some sort of a business is because you're spending money there. You're giving a certain amount of money, you're getting exactly the same amount of goods and services back. You're spending $20, you're getting breakfast or whatever. But in Vegas, if you're getting $500, or if you sit down and play blackjack and you win $100 or $1,000 or whatever, you're getting money. And so therefore, in exchange, it seems right and proper and completely... It seems completely appropriate that you would then give a large tip back. But and not only does she tell him no, she actually takes the tip back for him. I mean, somebody's...
I'm surprised she can get away with that because somebody else is not... They're not allowed to grab your chips off the table.
It's because she's got a big ass, and so therefore she gets away with it. That's the whole magic of Jennifer Lopez, apparently. Big ass equals unlimited power and fame. Apparently that's some sort of... it's some sort of... some sort of equation that I wasn't previously familiar with, but sounds like somebody's looking for a mommy figure in his life. I'm going to tip. Whack. No. Mommy will smack. All right.
Eat everything on that plate. Smack.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on, we got Tim Riley's top five musical acts of all time. Richard Nunn from the WB will be here. Another edition of How Chicks Think and all that. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. You know the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I want to get with ya and take your picture. My homeboy tried to warn me, but that butt you got me. Make me so horny. Ooh, I'm a blue skin. You say you want to get my bin? Well, use me, because you ain't that average groovy. I've seen her dancing. The hell with romance. She's wet, wet. Got it going like a turbo vest. I'm tired of magazines. Stand flat, butts all the things. Black man and ask him that. She got a black much back. So fellas, if your girlfriend got the butt, tell her to shake it, that healthy butt. Baby got fat.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Don't forget, we're going to be at the KOTK Toy Drive. Is happening tomorrow from 5 to 7. I mean, it's happening all day at all the Targets, but our part of it is tomorrow, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Target in Washington Square. It's going to be your last chance to say hey to Christina. We're also going to have copies of the Rick Emerson, the Tim Riley Factor Christmas single, Christmas Time in Portland. That's going to be there, too. 5 to 7 tomorrow. You want to be there for that. Subject line of this email, kissing booth. Rick, let me get this straight. If you have a kissing booth for $20, my girlfriend can make out with Christina, and it's to benefit the kids. What a great idea. We feed and clothe needy children, watch two hot chicks going at it, and stick it to John one last time, and it's all for the kids. Make this happen, Rick. That's signed Brandon. Did you say John's in town today?
He's leaving town today.
But he's here.
But he is here.
Hey, man, how's it going? All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Well, it's a big fat snub for my big fat Greek wedding.
Aww.
At the Indie Film Awards. Nia Vardalos is nominated for the best debut performance, and that's it.
Please. Here's a little tip from me to you. Anything executive produced by Tom Hanks, not an independent film. Eat me.
See what else is there. Lovely and Amazing, whatever that is, leads with 6 nominations, and Far From Heaven has 5.
Far From Heaven is a great film.
Yep.
Far From Heaven is a great, great movie. I don't even know that it qualifies as being an independent film as such, but it's a great movie.
I think they did it really cheap, too. So it was like 10 or 15 million.
No, and it's just, I mean, it's amazing on all levels. I mean, Dennis Quaid, who I don't even really like, is great. Julianne Moore, of course, is beautiful and great. It's got the...
She looks like Sarah in that.
She does, and it's unnerving, actually.
Yeah.
The extent to which she looks like Sarah... is...
That's what I thought when I saw it.
It's like, kind of... Well, you had sort of told me that in advance, and I went to see it, and especially the first third of the film, because later on in the film, she kind of get... They kind of make her look a little haggard later on.
Well, it's tough for her, even though she wears a smile.
Even, well, okay, yeah, because as her life kind of falls apart, she looks a little more weary, and they make her look kind of drawn and pained. But in the first third of the film, I swear to God, you think you're watching Sarah up there. It's freaky stuff, so... Anyway.
Yeah, what else are we doing? TV tonight. Is this a live-action show? Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
on the WB32. We'll have to ask Richard.
Maybe it's some sort of World's Funniest Santa videos.
So that could
something.
Be. And we know the story behind it, of course. Biography, Billy Barty, Always Think Big.
Billy Barty, everybody's favorite dwarf.
A Dogma, some kind of animal story, apparently, with Ben Affleck in there. Before he met J-Lo.
It's the second to worst Kevin Smith film. You don't really
have
to watch
not.
It. It really is.
It's a great star. Film.
The only Kevin Smith film that's worse is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Dogma, great idea, not such a great movie.
Mallrats?
No, Mallrats is actually funny. Mallrats, like a lot of people, I hated Mallrats when it first came out.
Yeah.
When Mallrats, because I had been such a huge fan of Clerks. I saw Clerks like 7 times at this place called the Magic Lantern. That doesn't exist anymore in Washington. And I was the just ginormous Clerks fan, and then Mallrats came out. I'm like, oh, going to be there. Opening day, I went, and I was just so disappointed. I thought it was just the worst film ever made. But I went back and saw Mallrats again about a year and a half ago, and it was actually pretty good. It actually is a lot better than I remembered. It's kind of like season 4 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You think it's awful, then you go back and watch it, suddenly not so bad. But maybe that's also because... Since Mallrats, we've had Chasing Amy, which I think we can all agree is the definitive Kevin Smith film. But then it was followed by Dogma and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, back to back, which I consider... I mean, I love Kevin Smith, but I consider them to be really poor films. And so Mallrats just looks a lot better by comparison.
Also on tonight, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Nah, but it's toothless because it's probably on like the Family Network or
it's
something.
It's on FX, and it's immediately followed by Riots, Mobs Out of Control.
Excellent. All
thank
right.
You're watching that. Also on is Taken. Members of three families encounter UFOs and alien abductions.
Let me talk to you about Taken for a second. This is the thing that's being billed as Steven Spielberg's Taken.
This is part 8.
I was kind of reading an article about it the other day, and Steven Spielberg has actually literally nothing to do with it. It's I sort of assumed that he at least was maybe directing it or, you know, he's executive producing it, but he has I don't think he's doing anything. It's just he literally his name is just on the marquee. It's not like Band of Brothers where Spielberg had an actively... pursue in hand in creating and controlling what happened on the screen. This, I think it's just that Amblin is making it. I think that's literally the only involvement Steven Spielberg has in the film, is that his company put up the front money for it, which is not negligible, but it's not really Steven Spielberg's Taken in any way. So,
What else is on tonight? Monster Machines, Munchers, and Tree Spades and Crawling Mining Shovels.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's called Monster Machines.
Okay.
You'll soon see them all at America's National Parks. Rich and Natural Cultural Heritage is presented tonight on one of these damn channels.
We got to get to the Britney Watch before we... Because otherwise
have
we're going to...
Britney Watch.
Otherwise we're going to lose for like the third day in a row.
Dancing there by the record machine. I knew he must have been about 7 days. The beat was going strong. Play my favorite song.
Oh, well, pop singer Britney Spears has said she has a restraining order imposed against a 41-year-old Japanese man whom she claims has been stalking her since September. According to the petition filed in L.A. Superior Court, some Japanese guy with a hard-to-pronounce name from Japan, has tracked and attempted to contact Spears at her home in Los Angeles as well as her second residence, which they're not saying where it is.
Oh, honestly, who hasn't, though?
Outside of California.
Really, which of us hasn't tried to contact Britney Spears? Please, let he who has not stalked Britney Spears throw the first stone.
Those attempts have ranged from sending pictures of himself along with notes saying, I'm chasing you. They're showing up at Spears' home and refusing to leave when he was ordered off the property.
Well, that's certainly unnerving.
Spears' attorney said to have this fellow barred from coming within 1,000 feet of the 21-year-old singer or from contacting her in any way.
All right. There's your Britney watch.
Time series television, late night veteran Jon Stewart will write and executive produce an NBC sitcom starring fellow Daily Show writer actor Stephen Colbert. Let's see here. It'll borrow heavily from Colbert's experiences growing up in South Carolina. The end of title series is being developed for NBC's fall 2003 schedule.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
Yeah, the show will be a modern-day Andy of Mayberry story. Ugh.
Seriously, with a possible exception, I know a lot of people will say Seinfeld, but with the exception of Seinfeld, has any really talented, funny stand-up guy ever created a sitcom that we didn't think was absolute dreck and crap? You know what I mean? Because it's funny. I was talking to Chase about this morning. My Chase from Mike and Amy in the Morning, KWJJ. We were talking about Kevin James. Because there's this program called Dinner for Five, which is where John Favreau, the guy behind Swingers, gets the movie Swingers, gets four pals together from show business, and they just sit around eating dinner and just talking about movies and, you know, and stuff they've done and whatever. And Kevin James from King of Queens, which is a really frighteningly bad show, which I've tried to watch a time or two, and I just can't. It's just so toothless and uninteresting. But Kevin James gets on there, and he's hilarious. But it's like they leech all the comedy and humor and talent out of these guys when they get the sitcom. And so comedians...